up here. We do have a gift bag that Miss Angel Finch put together for you, brother. It's right underneath here, and I'll make sure you don't walk out without it, because there's no way I'm going to tackle that. My kids might, but there's no way I would try to do it. So just a real blessing having the forces with us, and I really wanted to make sure we caught them before they left the state. So I had some friends going to fish a tournament at Shasta this weekend, and wouldn't let people travel like within 120 miles or something. So they had to cancel the event. He never went down, but I was in California. It's just them just getting this thing started looks like obstacle. I'm just, you know, but it's the devil. Does not want that part of the world broke open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's just a war. But you go in there with a fighting mentality, and it's a blessing. You just share with us what God's laid on your heart, brother. We're excited to hear you preach today. So.
All right. I will turn this on, too, in case I wander off, which doesn't happen a lot. But it is good to be here. We are the Forrest family. If you haven't got our card, we do have more in the back there. And we do appreciate your hospitality, and just good to see familiar faces and new faces and meet new people. And like Pastor Garner said, you know, we're looking at leaving the state here next month, and you know, this is what we've been waiting for quite a few years to go in full time ministry. The Lord worked in our hearts as young people in our area of missions, and so we surrendered to that. And the Lord just been building us. You know, I got done with Bible college, and you know how you are. You're ready to, you know, tackle the world, and God said, no, you need to. There's some things you got to work on. And you can't bypass preparation. And God is, I'm not saying I'm there, but the Lord has definitely given us the go ahead. And we're excited. I would have never picked 2021 to head out on deputation, but like, it's got to be of God, or we'll fail. And if it is, if it's not of God, I want to fail. I don't want to succeed if it's not God's will. So we're excited about the next step. The Lord's gonna have to do it. Take our prayer card if you would, and pray for us. We got some goals there on the back, and just basic ministry goals. But you know, I picked this verse on the back there. It says in Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is what these villages need. They need preaching and teaching in all wisdom. You know, as we're singing here this morning, I just got to think, you know, it's just so good to be here in person, you know, singing and gathering together. That will never be replaced. God has never intended, you know, the church to be split up. I know it's been a challenging last year for everyone, but it's good to be here in person. So many of these little villages, they don't have that. They don't have the option to go down to the church building and worship in spirit and truth. One of the elder ladies there in Unoclate, she usually without fail, every week when prayer requests are taken, she'll say, pray for the villages without a pastor. Pray for the villages without a pastor. She realizes that it's a dark place. They need that. So if you would take those prayer requests there and pray for us as we travel, the Lord will open doors, and I know He will. So this morning I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. You probably wouldn't necessarily categorize this as a missions message, but then again, it is about missions, because if we don't get a hold of these things, these truths, then we cannot accomplish missions. Missions begins within our heart. It begins within our families. I'm afraid for so many, you know, we've sacrificed to go around the world, but we've left our families in a wasteland. And we cannot do that. We have to start within our hearts, preparing our hearts, letting the Lord prepare us, and so therefore bringing fruit to God's glory. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is fruit. And Luke chapter 8 is the parable of the sower. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with that parable. I'm not going to really read it from the beginning.
There's the last two verses here, verses 14 and 15. Let's go ahead and read those together. We know the parable of the different ground. The seed falls on different ground, and that represents our heart. How the condition of our heart is when the seed lands on that condition. So let's read verse 14. And this starts off talking about the seed that fell among thorns. It says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Father, I do come before you this morning and thank you for the blessings. Lord, it's good to be here among believers. And Father, we pray that you teach us this morning through your word. Lord, I pray you put me aside. I pray that you would allow me to say only what you'd have me to say. Father, I pray that it'd be a help and a blessing to everyone here. And Lord, I know you've used this many ways in my life. And Father, I pray that we would be all about your fruit to glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I do want to talk about fruit this morning. The Christian's life is about perfecting spiritual fruit. We know that in John 15:8, Jesus said, "The Father is glorified when you bear much fruit." Much fruit. We have to be about glorifying God. Our lives need to be about glorifying God. It's all about that spiritual fruit. It's the spiritual fruit that brings God the glory in our lives. It's not us as just who we are necessarily bringing glory to God. It's the fruit that God has perfected in us. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But by way of example, you know, I've used this example before in this regard. When I was a lot younger, probably the age of my oldest son, maybe 6, 7, we lived in Ohio for a while. And we rented a farmhouse. And on that farm, there was a small pear tree out in the yard. And it was pretty short, just a small pear tree just getting started. I can't remember if we had planted it or if it was already there. But there was 5 of us kids. We would go out there almost every day. And we'd go up to that tree and we'd wait for something to come out, like fruit, like a pear. And we were so excited because one year, finally, one pear began to form on this tree. And just a young pear tree. And so we were so excited. We'd go out there almost every day, and we'd check on the pear. We'd feel it. Is it ready to eat yet? And this went on for some time. And, one day we went out there. We felt it. We said, "I think it's ready to eat." And so we're going to divide this thing 5 ways as kids, you know, and enjoy this fruit. And, lo and behold, our dog, man's best friend, comes running up behind us, jumps up, sees that we're excited about something, jumps up, grabs the fruit, runs off with it, destroys it, destroys the fruit. And we were just devastated, of course, that the fruit was destroyed and all that time. And but I think sometimes that is what happens in our life. God comes to get the glory of a fruit in our life, and he finds it destroyed. He finds it being used for our own glory. The farmer is worthy to eat of the fruit of his own labor. God is worthy of what he's been doing in our life, the fruit he's been perfecting. When he comes, is he going to find the fruit ready for his use? And that's what really the last 8-10 years of our life has been like, is just getting to a place, I think, where God could finally say, "Well, I think you're ready, maybe." And the Lord has given us that go ahead. And you think of fruit. Forgive me if I'm not supposed to have fruit in here, but young people, what is this?
Apple.
Very good. Okay. So since God created the apple, man has not been able to reproduce what God made. This is an apple. A fruit is the product of what? Time and nutrients. Time and nutrients is two basic things any fruit is going to be existent of. I lumped water. Water's in there with nutrients that comes through that. And when it comes to spiritual fruit, we see in Galatians chapter 5, we see the fruits of the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit of God, we know that the Spirit indwells us as believers. If we walk in the Spirit, we will experience the fruits of the Spirit. And it's not our fruit, it's the Spirit's fruit perfected in us, and it's being shown through us. And but you contrast that with the verses before that in Galatians 5, it talks about the works of the flesh. It goes through the works of the flesh. You know, we know murder, adultery, all these things. And then it comes to the fruit. Why is it, this? We call it spiritual fruit, and we call it works of the flesh. Well, a work of the flesh, that's an act. The acts of our flesh. Have you ever noticed how quickly your flesh acts? It can take years to perfect God to perfect the fruit in your life. And then you can act just like that on your flesh. We have to be patient. Again, time and nutrients. That is what it takes to perfect fruit in the Christian's life. Think of in James chapter 1. He talks about the trials being the perfecting of your faith. Let's turn over there real quick. James chapter 1. I think this is very important. James chapter 1. Many times we don't make it through the time part of bearing fruit. We bail out before the fruit is ripe. You know, we can all argue about when the best time to eat a banana is. You know, if it's a little green, kind of mushy, that's a bad time to eat it. But we can all agree that there is a time that fruit is ripened. It's ready to use, ready to eat. And that is what it is for the Christian. If we don't wait on the Lord to perfect that fruit, we are going to step ahead of God. We're going to step ahead of His timing in a lot of areas in our life. So look at James chapter 1. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." We don't like that word, patience. "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and what? Entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing." That word perfecting comes up a lot through the epistles, and it means to complete, to bring to perfection. It doesn't mean you're going to be without sin. But it does mean that you become complete in Christ. You have all the necessary things to live your Christian life. It doesn't mean that you're exempt from sinning, but it does mean that you are now at a place that God has established things in your life that you can perfect spiritual fruit in your life. So remember in John chapter 15, the example is Jesus Christ being the true vine. We are the branches. Then we have spiritual fruit. We are not the fruit. We are the branch. So when you look at a tree, you know, nobody looks at a tree, at least I don't, and say, those are just beautiful branches. You know a tree by its fruit. You say, that's an apple. Look at that amazing thing. Like I said, we have not been able to improve on the apple. God is still, thousands of years later, we still have fruit that God allowed to continue to grow. But we are the branch. We just provide, we're just the flow of nutrients through the branch to the fruit. The fruit is the visible working of God in our life. And it's not of us, it's of the vine. He says specifically, if you leave the vine, you're cutting yourself off from the nutrients. And we need nutrients in this process. Think of Joseph. I think Joseph is just one of the most amazing examples of God perfecting somebody for His use. This has been tremendous in my life, the example of Joseph. And you think of specifically the aspect of pruning. In John chapter 15, it talks about those that bear fruit, God prunes so they can bear more fruit. You know, why do some Christians just seem to suffer so much? Maybe it's because they're already bearing fruit and God is saying, look, I see that you can handle this. Let's go another step. God works many times through suffering in the Christian's life. We all suffer at some level. We all have heartaches. God can, there's different parts of suffering. You know, there's suffering just because we've been stupid, did something, you know, for our, you know, you heard the man that came to his pastor and said, pray for me at work. I've been persecuted. You know, I've just been so persecuted at work and suffering. The pastor says, Well, I know you pretty well. The reason why you're suffering is because you're the laziest person on the job. And that can be true too many times. You know, we think, man, we're just being, you know, persecuted. Well, because of our own doing. But there's that aspect of suffering, and then God uses chastisement. We can suffer through chastisement. That is because of our own sin, and that is still God's love bringing us back to Him through chastisement. But then you have suffering in regards to bearing fruit. God perfects fruit through suffering. This is Joseph all over. You take Joseph. Was he 17 years old when he was sold into slavery by his brothers? You know, just a pretty ordinary kid. You know, felt like I'm sure he had a good family. He loved his dad. Why did God allow him to be taken from his family and sold into slavery by his brothers? Just all that time, just heartache after heartache. And that 13 years, and turn over to Genesis chapter 1, because this is where we're going to be for a minute. Before I get ahead of myself, Genesis chapter 41. Joseph, we see in verse 46, Genesis 41, 46, it says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt." So it says Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. We know that he was 17, probably about 17 roughly, when he left, sold into slavery. So it took 13 years for God to perfect his timing in Joseph's life. It took 13 years. You know, I turned 30 last year. I turned 30 last November, and I don't hold the comments. But, hey, my wife's 32. So. Anyway, she's a little older than I am, though, so that I get to call her old sometimes. But Joseph was 30 years old when he, you know, it's also interesting that, you know, Jesus was 30 when he began his earthly ministry. And I'm not saying this is standard, but in one way, but God, it's evidence that God, it takes time to perfect God's servant. Some of us learn slower than others. I know many areas in my life I've looked back and said, wow, I could have learned that a lot faster. But God is patient. He's patient with us. But you think of Joseph and just the heartache he experienced. And here he is at 30 years old. You know, he didn't know he was going to stand before Pharaoh. I mean, just a day before, hours before. I think you look at the account there of his, you know, they came to get him. He quickly changed, shaved. And he's standing before Pharaoh. I mean, it's almost within an hour. And you think of that, and that is how it is with fruit. God gets you to that point, and it's just there. There you are. Joseph, all those 13 years, came to fruition in that moment. I believe when you look at Joseph's life, I think this was the crowning, you know, moment of his life as far as what God had for his life. The saving of his people, but also the people there with the famine. And you can just see his providence through it all. Joseph is a good example of God's providence. Now look with me in verse 50 of the same, Genesis 41 still, in verse 50. Now this is talking about Joseph's two sons. And there's something here I think is really important in this, and it spoke to me personally. In verse 50 it says, And unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. Verse 51, And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. In verse 52, And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So what is it? What do we see here? We see Joseph, two sons. What does he name them? Manasseh, Ephraim. Why do you think he chose those names? Look at the meaning. Manasseh means causing to forget. Causing to forget. You know, for every toil, God has a Manasseh. For every affliction, there is an Ephraim. Causing to forget. God said, you know what? I know what I've brought you through. I know the heartaches, the suffering, the family separation. He said, I'm going to cause you to forget. And then Ephraim, double fruit. There is double fruit when you persevere to the end. There's double fruit. God blesses. Listen to Psalms 1. Psalms 1 verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's that nutrients, water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his what? In his season. That's the time. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's always time and nutrients when it comes to bearing God's fruit. Don't get discouraged just because you're not seeing fruit in the first year. You know, it can take time. The lesson here is for us is God has for us specific fruit to bring forth in His own season, in His own time. Remember, it's not our time, it's in His time. The nutrients a lot is God's part of it a lot of time. Ours is the time, the patience. You know, we have to be the ones to be patient. Let God have His way in our lives. Don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. Don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. You know, you pick most fruit, you pick it, and it's too early, it's going to be wasted. Most of it. You think of this with, even in old age, you know, many elderly people feel like, you know, it's over for me. But you think of all your lifetime, I believe there's specific fruits that God has been perfecting in the older generation that will only come about in their old age. And I think wisdom is the number one thing. You know, wisdom to the younger generation. There, you've had a lifetime of events in your life, wisdom that you can pass on. That's a fruit that God has given you to pass on and to use in your life. You think of children, raising children. We're in the middle of raising five. And it's, I tell you, it's a daily event. I mean, it's one day after the other, sometimes minute after minute. And you cannot give up hope just because, you know, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It takes time to perfect the fruit. Boy, when they get to the age, though, when they finally start really showing the fruit of all your teaching and your disciplining and all that, you're so thankful that you put in the time, the nutrients needed. How about teenagers? Any teenagers in here? You get to be a teenager, you feel like, you know, I want things now, this to happen now. Don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. God has a, you know, if and Lord, unless the Lord calls you specifically into a life of singleness, which He does, I think the Lord has to call you to that because most people that have that desire to get married, listen, young people, don't pick that fruit before it's ripe. God has a specific plan in your life, and that His will, through marriage, in His desire, His way. Don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. So, are we having patience? Are we putting the time into our Christian life? Again, I look back in my life, the last 10 years. You know, we knew the Lord was directing us towards missions. And, it was just, Lord, when, you know, how? And we tried to stay faithful in whatever we could do. And the Lord has finally given us that go-ahead to step out. You know, and I was telling one of the men at our church who was he was with the Rangers, a paratrooper and all that. And I said, it's kind of like when the jump master says jump. And you don't just stand there and say, why? Or you look down and say, this doesn't look like a good spot to jump. You better jump. And you cannot question God's timing. And that's what it's been for us in this year, looking at 2021 ahead of us. It's like, Lord, but this is happening. You know, why now? But God has those specific fruits ready, and he's all He says is just to jump, and I'll take care of the rest. Again, don't question God's timing, and don't pick the fruit before it's ripe. I think we'll go ahead and close there. A few minutes early here. Father, we thank you so much for spiritual fruit that you perfect in our lives. Lord, it's not of us. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, Lord, if we could just get a hold of that in our lives, Lord, not to bail out before you're done with us, Lord, not to bail out before the fruit is perfected. Lord, help us in this regard, Father. I pray that we'd be faithful throughout this year. Looking forward, things change, things look harder, things look, things are just unpredictable, Lord. But we trust you that you have your purpose and plan. And Father, we ask that you'd open the doors. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Pastor.
A great truth this morning, talking about the fruits and the patience that's needed. So he said 30 years old, and then we got the same way, right? You get out of the institute, and you're just like, Pastor Paisley used to say, charge hell with a squirt gun. That's what his saying was. You know, you're like, ready to go, but you're not ready to go yet, you know? And so that time when you're preparing, like when we were in Matthew 4, here a couple weeks ago, when the tempter came, the Bible says they left him for a season. It's like, what are you doing then? Are you getting ready to go, right? All the football teams are lost. Everybody's lost. There's like, what, two or three teams left. There's like 28 teams. They're all sitting at home on the couch. No, not really. They're starting to get ready for the next time. And so you get to that point, like Megan, Morgan, Jared, Ava, Madison, William and Abigail, that age, like, what are we doing now? Because then it starts that next part. You don't get to the end and be like, well, I should, you know. No, you got to do that now. And then we say, now you do it. He's preparing him. I mean, it's incredible to think about. He saved all these people alive. And what was God's plan? Well, I'll put you in prison. So don't worry about it if you don't get the plan. It doesn't make sense. Like, this doesn't always make too much sense. He's preparing you for this. And he was a steward, probably one of the greatest stewards in the history of the world, and saved many, much people alive. So we're going to stand this morning and sing. If you haven't yielded to the Lord, you need to. You need to, and stick with his plan. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you come this morning and find us up here at the front? We are singing page number 3. Jesus paid it all. Page 3 this morning, altar's open to pray.